Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming in Hot is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Brent Wallace alongside Bobby Ryan, Jason York, as we like to say, on assignment. At least it's on a golf course, I think, Bobby, somewhere. Yeah, you two have the best gigs.
Right? Podcasting golf.
I'm the only guy here all the time. I haven't golfed yet this year.
Can you play golf?
I have clubs. That's the only way I describe it.
Okay, that's fair. You can bat it around with a 7-iron all day.
Yes. One of the things I'd like to do, although I'm terrified, is have the two of you host this show without me.
I could, you know what? I would really step up for the boys one day. I think I could nail it. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
The ad reads would be a complete shit show. But outside of that, I think I could do that.
Really?
If you send me a nerd report, I'll go right down the list.
See, I wouldn't give you a nerd report. You'd have to do your own work.
I would do it. You tell me when. If you want a day off, you know what? You want to go whack 7-irons and hit a bucket, you let me know.
This changes everything. This puts me in a great mood today. So you should get on a guest that you've spent a lot of time with, like Temu or Chris Pronger.
Okay, I'll try and line somebody really good up on the day that I have to host so we can just fill time.
Yeah. Don't do Pronger. I got a question I gotta ask him because he got mad at me one time in a scrum.
Oh, really?
And he's 6'6", and he's already on a podium, which is about 6 inches high, and he's staring down at me, and I wanted to crawl away because it was, yeah. He was a -6 in the game.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, he earned that.
Yeah. Anyway.
He walks around angry, man. I played with him for maybe 2 years. I don't even know, but especially as a rookie. Oh, man, he was hard on the young guys, but he was.
Oh, yeah.
But he was good. He was hard and fair. But he taught me a lot of lessons that kind of helped through my career.
He was in practice, would he take you out?
Ruthless, man. Yeah. Like the stick would just go straight this way, right on your back, really? No matter what. Yeah. Yeah. But I will say it was Travis Green, who was still in the league, my first training camp. And I get Prongs. Obviously they, you know, older guys kind of take it easy through camp. You're just getting by and you're trying not to get hurt by one of those fifth round draft picks that are buzzing, right? Basically. And I guess Travis Green skated by him. He goes, "Hey Prongs, are you ever going to get out of the fucking rocking chair?" Cause he's just back there zipping it around, kind of laughing it up. But yeah, I thought that was a great one liner.
Prongs has got, and I don't know him really well. And I would probably say not a huge fan based on the way he would always terrorize, I guess, the teams that I was covering, and I'll get to that in a sec. But he's got great one-liners.
Oh, man, he's got some great ones. Yeah, he does. He was always I had some of the best because I came into the most veteran team in the league when I finally made that team. There was just no openings to make it as a 19 and 20 year old, right? Well, I shouldn't say that. I made it as a 20, so 18 and 19 year old. There was nowhere for me to fit in, and they weren't keeping me to play on the fourth line, obviously, as a you know, goal scoring guy. So when I did get in, they had just won the cup, and they were, you know, I had Doug Waite, Todd Bertuzzi, like, Prongs, Tamu, Getze, Perry, like just in George Peros, just some of the funniest guys. And like that locker room is a blast.
You did a lot of good video stuff. I will say that. Did you watch the cup final very much in 07?
I was with them, right up until that round. And then I went home. It was obvious they were dropping black aces kind of as they went. And then our group was so small. They were like, I don't even know if we need to keep this. Let's just keep five extra guys and they'll bag skate after kind of thing. And I remember going to Vancouver with them and traveling and doing some other stuff, but, no, I didn't. I think I watched the clinching game. I was so burnt out. That was my draft year. It wasn't my draft year. I did the World Junior camp in August, went to Owen Sound for camp, played exhibition there, went to Anaheim for camp, played exhibition there, came back, went to World Juniors, came back, got called up to Portland, Maine. I was fried on hockey at that point. I think I had played well over 120 games or something, in less than a calendar year. So it's that time of year for 19 and 20 year olds, like especially high end picks. Yep. It's a lot. You really don't have a summer to work too, like to put in the time if you're doing all those events.
And when you were second overall, so you were everywhere, right? You were one of the focal points. Like I think of Mason McTavish, even during COVID, he played on five or seven different teams.
He kind of ran the gauntlet that year. It was a lot.
The only reason I asked about watching the cup final was because Pronger puts the elbow into Dean McCammon and gets a suspension. And I just remember all the hoopla that was surrounding it and how Anaheim was so disappointed. And I'm like, Dean McCammon is skating up the ice and Prong's just boom, they have straight elbow. Like there's not even a question.
No reason to do it. No, yeah. I do remember that. I remember another one. Prong's got, It was so obvious it was going to be a suspension. And I think we were gearing up for the playoff run the next year or the year. I can't remember. And he calls the team in on the ice and he's like, Carlisle is like, he's got something to tell you. He goes, boys, I got 8 games for whatever he did. I can't remember what it was. And we all started, giving him the cheers. And I just hear guys going, and he was, healthy as a horse, but the boys are like, get rested, get healthy, like enjoy your time. Cause it was not a cheap suspension when you were making what he was making. Right.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a healthy one.
I'll have to look it up before we get through the show. Okay. So we do have, by the way, if you are just joining us and don't know, Craig Anderson is going to be on the show, play 10 years for the Ottawa Senators. If you haven't, you've been living under a rock. A lot of those times with Bobby Ryan. So he is just getting back. I think he's getting the kids from school, and he will join us once he does that. But looking forward to having a chat with him. There's so many things to talk about with him. I don't know if he's talked to Tom Brady, if he's going to announce that he's coming back, even though he said he's not. So we'll see what it's been like for him being at home for the last little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's settled in nicely. I talked to him a little bit, so we'll have to see, but I think when I talked to him afterwards, he's like, he gave me a shout because he was in, I think, Hilton Head or something with all the Buffalo kids. And then he was driving home when we chatted on the phone for a little while, and he was ready. His body was ready. He was ready. So I was like, what if somebody offers you $750? And he's like, I can't do it.
So, really?
Yeah. I don't see it happening. I think he's healthily eating Oreos on the couch right now.
Amazing to me that he's the oldest guy playing last year in the National Hockey League as a goalie, but we'll get to that. Yeah. Pronger was suspended 8 games for stomping.
That's okay. And I can't remember who it was on. I do remember it. But I can't remember the incident. I just remember all of us going, ooh, it's going to be a good one. That's going to be a healthy one. I don't remember who he did it to.
All right. So let's get into our, by the way, we have new ad reads. I won't give them to you, I should say, because you would be surprised by them. So, but I will give you two
I won't give them to you, but I'll give you two. Okay.
You're going
to
get Renfrew and BEI.
Okay.
And I will take the new ones plus potato. Okay.
Excuse me. I'm ready to go. I had to.
Okay. Here we go. First up, as always, as I meant to say off the top, but I didn't, this show proudly presented by Betano. By the way, get your Stanley Cup picks in as it's going to start on Saturday. We will tell you who ours are at the end of the show. Visit Betano.ca or download the award-winning app. It is state-of-the-art, the fastest, most user-friendly, and advanced betting app for your mobile or tablet. Have an amazing world of sports always with you at Betano. Hundreds of betting options for every event. And try same-game parlays with BetBuilder, also live in-game betting, and the most competitive odds in the market. Betano, the game starts now.
As always, this show is held together very loose. You know what? It's held a little tighter, but you're doing a good job right now. But
we're rolling.
Yeah, we are. But this show always held together by Renfrew Pro, which is the original hockey tape. It's the Pro Blade XT cloth hockey tape. Most important part, it's hand terrible. I don't know why we keep going over that. All tape is hand terrible.
You and Yorkie picked this part
all
up.
Tape is hand terrible if you're strong enough. Anyway. It does help with control. It's what the pros use. It's in every locker room. It's also available at every major retailer and as well as renfrewpro.com. You can follow them on Instagram, at renfrewpro.com. Tag your teammates for unlimited entries. Share to your story. You get 10 bonus entries for free tape Friday. Renfrew Pro, the one with the green core, feel the game. I'm going to just keep segueing for the greatest transition in
rolling.
Promo history. BEI, the show is brought to you by BEI, Bonisher Excavating, heavy civil general contractor in the Ottawa Valley, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. When you're planning your next project, consider them for your aggregate supply needs. You can follow them, you can find them at bonisherexcavating.com or give them a shout at 613-432-1120. They're hiring across the board, but for equipment rentals and all those things, BEI is your guys to go to. And bonus, If you work for them, you get free hockey on Friday. As always, slow down at construction zones. BEI, Bonisher Excavating.
Well done.
Whoa.
Now, yeah. So over the past month, I've been using AG1 as they sent it to me to try out. I do quite like it, in fact. So this isn't really a big promo thing as opposed to just my reaction to it. People ask what it tastes like. Think of it as like pineapple and vanilla. It's quite pleasant. It's got 75 multivitamins and nutrients in it. It helps support your immune system. I take it in the morning, some ice and just in this shaker glass, and away we go. It's one scoop. If you want to try it, that we do have a deal for you. If a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/comingin hot.
Oh,
finally, Bobby, something that gets discussed a lot in locker rooms is the UFC fighting. I know that there used to be a bunch of guys that would always do the pay-per-view. Well, there's a new pay-per-view coming up June 10th. This fight, UFC 289, is in Vancouver. The lioness, Amanda Nunes, the UFC bantamweight champion, returns for her second reign and looks to defend her title against a surging Mexican prospect, Irina Aldana. Listen, as Aaron Ward said, if you have a nickname, there's a good chance you're a really good fighter. She's called the Lioness. So I think this is without question. She will hands down win. That's basically how I rate this. Hey,
okay? Sorry about that. Yeah, I was zoned out on the, I was going to athleticgreens.com/comingin hot because I take a green powder that costs about half the price because, man, I tried to buy that one time and I was like, I'm rich, but I'm going to stay rich because I'm not buying this, but I might buy it.
It's $3 a serving. It's less than $3 a serving.
Yeah. I mean, you know, $90 a month, isn't it?
Yeah. A little less, but how much do you pay for your coffee at Starbucks?
Oh, buddy. I got a Jura. I refuse to go to Starbucks. I'll tell you this. I was an espresso guy for a long time. The pods were cheap. It just worked. And then, my girlfriend mentioned, she said, there's, you got to look at this. I bought it. It is the best purchase I've ever made. So free ad to Jura. I spent the money on a good coffee maker and that's my go-to in the morning right now.
Okay.
But AG, I have a really shitty green powder that cost me $30 for whatever. It's a dollar a scoop, but it's not close. The guy, all the guys take AG1. A lot of guys love it. Absolutely love it.
It's, you know, it's just actually, it's like, it's not even greens. It just tastes like, you can put it in smoothies, by the way, for people that want to do that. It just feels like drinking some pineapple, a light hint of pineapple. Anyway, it's full of nutrients that I don't have to try and mix up in the morning and take different multivitamins.
Mine's rather earthy, so I might make the investment here.
I want to go back to the UFC fight for a sec. I know we're dragging this out, but I want you to go to the pay-per-view if you're looking for it. There's a Mike Malott. There's a bunch of Canadians in it, and one of them is Mike Malott, who's highly ranked. His brother, by the way, plays for the Manitoba Moose. So we always like to tie in hockey as best we can when it comes to UFC or anything else for that matter. He had a 39-second, it's called the guillotine move. He was done his match in 39 seconds. He's one of the few fighters that's got an impressive record in the match. Also, the co-main event, former lightweight champion, number one contender, Charles Oliveira, taking on number four, Beneil Darush. So anyway, just letting you know, go check them out. That's UFC 289. I want to read it like a monster truck. UFC 289, Nunez versus Aldana, Saturday, June 10th.
That's good.
Anyway, go check them out. UFC fightpass.com. Okay.
I'm going to have to text Pager on this and get some info because Pager loves that stuff. And there was a couple fighters out of Ottawa, wasn't there? Because he was buddies with them. I always saw them, you know, tagging each other, whatever. Well,
I don't know. Did he know George St. Pierre, I wonder? Probably.
You know what? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I'll have to shoot him a text and get some info on this so I'm ready for the next one.
So I've been trying to get him on, but it's a little tougher because his general manager makes life difficult when you want to do interviews.
Really?
Lou Lamoriello.
Lou makes things difficult?
Yeah, I know you'd be shocked when I tell you that.
I would have ixnayed a trade there just because I wasn't shaving every day. I didn't have the capacity or the energy for that.
I can't believe guys still let that happen.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't know, man. That guy's, he's been around a long time, so people just, yeah, yes, sir. But,
yeah, ask Alex Mogilny what he thinks of Lou Lamoriello, I think, right? He was the one that buried him after the lockout in New Jersey. Dan McGillis was another guy he buried in the minors because they had the cap come in.
Okay. I remember Dan McGillis in the minors though.
Yeah. It's like, and he's an Ottawa guy. So he was, you know, frustrating.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you heard, from Andy? No. Okay. Oh, by the way, Pierre Dorian just on the radio talking about all kinds of things. Interesting. Cause basically he said when it came to Alex DeBrincat, they were going to qualify him. They were going to try and sign him to his AAV, which was closer to his salary this year. They would look to possibly take him to arbitration or trade him. I believe, Bobby, that's all the options you could possibly do with a player.
I don't know what else you do. you're not really way to narrow it down. We're going to do one of the five possible things. But I, you know what? That's I give Pierre the benefit of the doubt. That's the general manager's job. Is to cover all bases in the media, so that it could go one of five ways. So he's got,
I don't know, guys.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know what the answer is with Alex DeBrincat. If you can get him locked up at a number that it works for everybody, but he might not want to take less, and he might want to change, you know, test the market. Who knows? He can test the market. No, sorry.
No, but he can after a year. Right. If it's just the 1 year qualifying offer, right?
Right. But you got to qualify him so heavily, don't you?
9 million.
Just nine. I don't know. He's got to be vague in that one. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But yeah. But thanks for really narrowing it down.
Between Alex DeBrincat and you, next year, they're slated to make $10.8 million.
He's getting way too much of that.
Dorian did say he's made a decision on DJ Smith. And once he gets new ownership, then he'll make a recommendation from there. That's a weird way to put that.
Like, yeah.
We're going into July or June into the summer and the coach, that wasn't like, hey, DJ's our guy. He'll be back. There was nothing. That's just odd.
Yeah, it's not exactly a glowing endorsement, but again, when you're midsummer and you're getting ready for the draft free agency, and then you have new ownership on top of it, like Pierre's kind of hamstrung in this because it's like, can you go out and spend money? Can you go out and do what you want to do without knowing who's coming in to call the shots? Can you bring back the entire coaching staff without knowing who's calling the shots? Like he's a little stuck, so he's got to be vague. And I understand that. But for me, it's not a glowing endorsement. He'll make his recommendation. My guess is the recommendation is to bring them back and let them see it through because the team made major strides last year.
All right. Guess who's standing by? The newest member of the AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons. It's our good friend who just recently had a birthday. Craig, Andy, are you there? Oh,
I am. You guys got me?
We got you.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, but I was wondering if you got stung by a few bees in the last couple of weeks with no workouts and probably eating your way through South Florida.
That's usually how I plan my summers. So nothing's changed until September when I don't have to do anything.
I remember I was laughing the other when I was thinking about stories about you, and I was like, I didn't really have any. We had a lot of dinners together, but the one time Schwartz, he was out in Idaho doing a check-in on me, making sure I was working out, and I'm just grinding through the summer trying to stay lean and in good shape, and he's like, Andy sent me a picture last week of him eating chips on the beach. Basically, I was like, yeah. I hate those skinny guys.
Yeah, that was my last like 4 years doing that.
Yeah, geared up in end of August.
So Andy, somebody in the chat has said, are you officially retired? I've actually had a couple of people say this. You are officially retired, or have you talked to Tom Brady? Are you coming back next year?
No, there's no, I haven't done any paperwork, anything like that. But, yeah, I've played my last game as an athlete. So it's just a matter of now, tell my agent to make sure he doesn't call anybody.
Okay. Listen, if somebody came to you and said, here's $1 million to be the backup, how long would you think about this?
I wouldn't think about it at all.
I told you, man, he's pot committed. He's done.
Yep. He's done. It's unfortunate, but yeah, I mean, I think moving forward, I think it's time for me to, coach youth baseball and flag football. And, my older one's going to be 12 here in July. So there's only so many, more years left with him at home. So
yep.
I can't be selfish for too much longer here.
All right. Fair enough. Bobby did hire a private investigator, and we've been checking out what you've been doing since you've been retired. We have a couple of pictures we'd like to show you. Gavin, if you have them ready, I'd like you to post them. Here we go. So, there's you mowing the lawn. That's very, very, very nice. Are you riding the golf cart?
I've done that a few times.
What's next? Oh, there you. This is a different golf cart. Of you down? Must be going to get the mail. Let's see. What else do we have? And finally, the Sens golf cart. That's a very nice jersey you have.
It's like
baby blue. Nice.
With all those retirement places down there, Andy, I feel like the boys kind of buried you. I hadn't seen those pictures either, but they just keep putting you on motorized scooters, man.
That's all right. You should see the new golf cart we're going to get for the golf course.
Did you get dialed?
No, I mean, I've played once a week for the last 4 or 5 weeks, but dialed is hitting the ball sometimes good is dialed for me at the moment. Yeah.
Well, I meant the golf cart. Did you deck it all out and do it right?
No, we got to go pick one out. The wife wants one for the neighborhood. so I think that's next on the docket list. I don't know. Have you guys seen those Mokes?
Oh, how great are those?
So yeah. we're debating between a Moke and a golf cart. So we'll see where that goes.
I've been looking at them too. They're unbelievable. I have a golf cart in the garage for around the neighborhood as well, but I can't put the kids in it because they face backwards. It's like one of those two forward, two backwards, and it drives me nuts and terrifies me. So I'm looking at a Moke as well. Those things are incredible.
I'll take your word for it. I just walked to the mail. So, Andy, I got a lot of questions to ask you about your playing games and all that stuff. I feel like I should just start with your last game. Where does that game rank for you? So for people that weren't paying attention, you played against Ottawa in Buffalo. You won in overtime. The family's there. It was wild to watch. It was pretty, actually, it's emotional. What are your thoughts on that particular game?
I think fate. I think it was just fate, the way things played out. It was just, who would have thought that, I mean, prior to that game, I think we were still kind of in the mix, you know, and I hadn't played in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So with Devin Levi coming in and kind of being the hot hand there. So it was kind of fate, the fact that we were out, you know, the game before we were knocked out. The last game at home was against, you know, my former team. And to finish it in overtime, I think it was just it was meant to be the way it was supposed to go. So for me to end on that note is pretty much ideal, because Chucky asked me early in the game if it was my last game, and I didn't answer him. But then by the end, I did answer him. There was an incident in the second period. I think I fell down and my leg cramped up. I'm like, all right, this is it.
That's all it took.
You ended up winning the game, but I would have said yes to Brady right out of the gate, so he would have stayed out of your crease all night. He would have just given you the benefit of the doubt and stayed and given you some space.
Yeah, fair enough. But no, it was an emotional night. You know, I think everyone kind of came in for that game knowing it was going to be the last. So for me to say that, you know, I'm going to debate here and, you know, be hush and try and make a decision later. I think decision's been made and it's pretty obvious.
I will say, the one thing I really liked, is you actually taking the time to soak that all in. And the reason I say that is, as fans, we watch you and watch all the athletes perform on the ice, but we rarely get to say thank you at the end. Like Bobby didn't get to wave to everybody as he left the ice. This was really cool. I actually appreciated the fact that you soaked it all in and you appreciated the love that came back to you at the same time.
Yeah, I think that was not pre-planned, but I mean, I think that was kind of talked about. I know numerous people had came up to me and said, hey, make sure, like, if this is it, you know, enjoy it. And, you know, you are appreciated, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I think having the win helps too, that, you know, you're not in a bad mood. And then, like I said, the gesture from Brady, you know, and all the Sens guys that, you know, 90% of that team, I don't even know. So, you know, the handful of guys that I do know or played with, you know, that those were the catalyst for them, those guys staying out and making the moments, you know, memorable, right? No one's going to remember the score of the game or what the shots were, et cetera, but everyone will remember the event that happened after with, you know, both teams being out there and just the, you know, the situation that kind of what had happened.
There's not a lot of time after a game for you to sit in a locker room before it gets opened up to the media. I think it's 10 minutes at best. What were you doing in that time? Did you just sit there? I guess, what was that moment like for you?
Oh, we were getting ready to go to Columbus. So we were like, skipping a jump. We were out of there.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. You guys, I thought your season was ending there. So I didn't realize.
One more game.
Yeah, we have one more game.
Buddy, when I had dinner with you and you already had three goalies in the mix. They didn't leave you home and let you just enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I know. Actually, we talked about it, but then so Kevin was great. Kevin's like, you want to stay, spend the night with the family, blah blah blah. That's fine. And then what we ended up doing was I talked to Nicole and the kids, and they all came to Columbus. So we all spent the day in Columbus, and we put Jake and Levi in an oversized hockey bag and threw them on the plane.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I got to say, by the way, I told you, I texted you on your last day. I knew it was your last game. Not because you told me, I just knew. And you fucking ghosted me on game day.
I think we were doing a show.
I sent a really nice text over. I think you told, and then I sent a really nice text over and I got ghosted. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'll apologize for that, but I don't remember. I don't remember what I did yesterday. So looking back to April, I don't. I mean, I'm sure the message is there, and I'm sure I texted you a few days later. Maybe I didn't. I'm not sure, but
you did. Yeah, We connected.
I think there was a lot of messages coming that way. I think everybody, assumed it was the last one. So there was a lot of, you know, information coming in, and
yeah,
you know, you try to get everybody, but at the same time, we were also trying to rush to get to Columbus.
Yeah.
How much money did you put on the board for that game?
Gosh, people still put money on the board?
You're so cheap. I knew it.
I don't know. There's been a few team dinners and whatnot that's been put up. I mean, I don't know what it was. Whether it was 1,000 or maybe probably 1,000 for the trainers, I would think. We don't do anything small. Everything minimum was like 500 with Buffalo the last couple of years of being on the board. It's not like the old days where we'd have a full board Saturday and, you know, everyone put up $50. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, and you're dragging out random stats on everybody just to try to get them to put money on the board. That was kind of, that's the way it used to be in Ottawa.
Well, that was painful
when I first got there.
Yeah.
I was told Brad Joyelle was classic for that.
Who?
Were you there for Brad? Was he gone by then?
No.
So there was a few guys that would just find random obscure notes and,
no, that was Nealer. No, Nealer had the thing in the stall the whole time. Like, anybody's, was it anybody's third assist against their fourth team they played against? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I remember one time I was like, well, Nealer, I didn't know you could read.
Well, Chris Neal will not be on our show ever again. There's so many things to get to. People have asked a lot of questions. The other thing before we get into Ottawa is, one of the nights that kind of got swept under the rug was you get your 300th win. You become one of 39 goalies in NHL history to get 300 wins. You are one of six U.S. born goalies, I think, at 300 wins. It's the night Jack Eichel returns to Buffalo. So it was completely overshadowed. And I want to know what that game was like, because it had all the makings of a lot of entertainment value.
Yeah, there was a lot of boos that night. I know that every time Jack touched the puck, he was booed. I think that was last season, two seasons ago. So we were, you know, a 10-game below 500 team. You know, we had to find moral victories in kind of a losing season, right? So you had the 300, you know, that was Jack Eichel's return, which ended up being my 300 win. You had the game, the outdoor game in Hamilton against Toronto. I mean, there were certain milestone games that the RJ night, when we retired RJ's name up in the Raptors. So the team took huge strides, and those type of nights were the nights that the team took strides and showed the growth and the potential. And, you know, I think we all kind of had it out for Jack. I mean, I didn't know Jack. He wasn't in the room with him, so I have no idea, what his demeanor was in the room or how he was perceived. So, but I think it was just a matter of fact. I think as an organization, you had the whole fans, right? The only thing that changes, you know, players change from year to year, management changes from, you know, year to year, whatever it might be, but the fans stay the same. And the fan base wanted to win more so than the players, I would think.
Yeah.
And that was the energy we were drawing off of. I think Oki is good friends with Jack. I think there's multiple guys in the team that know Jack and know him well. And it wasn't, you know, we weren't mad at Jack. Jack's got to look out for his best interests, and that's what he did. It's just the fans were upset with Jack. Plus, know that they were upset with Jack, and that's kind of the way it played out. As a player, you just go out there and do your job and you feed off the energy of the crowd. And that was the energy that night.
It was interesting. Cause then Jack afterwards just said something about the Buffalo fans. And I know it set people off again.
Yes. I don't remember what he said, but yes, it was literally, it was a win, not for the players. It was a win for the fan base that night. And yeah. You know, I think he got his revenge last year when he scored three or four goals against us and, you know, got to pretty much wave his middle finger to everybody.
he might do it again in about two and a half weeks when he wins a cup.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't know. So,
I'm going to get to that after. We're going to get your pick on who you want to win. Do you want Colin White or Mark Stone, Jack Eichel? Are you allowed to pick? We'll get to that later. We call it arts and crafts. As you can see, I've got your 300 wins as a U.S. born goalie up there. Is what you've looked like through the years with your headshots.
Oh God.
And we got, I even have Guelph as we start this. I don't know if you've aged a lot, but you've certainly had some stressful moments, I'll say.
When did the hair start running away from the eyebrows?
You can see it.
We're going to see it. Okay.
It was early.
Oh, here we go. Okay, there's Guelph.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
There's Chicago.
It's thin up top there. You can't get the overhead. Yeah.
Colorado.
Where's the Florida one? You forgot the Florida one.
I couldn't find Florida.
Oh, that's too bad. I got lots of those.
And then I think this is your last Ottawa one. Goes to Washington. And then finally, you're happy in Buffalo.
Yep.
Look at that.
Hey, how about the Guelph? So, anyway, how would you assess overall your career since you lasted 20 years in the National Hockey League? You were the oldest guy in the league last year, which I'm not making fun of because as a goalie, that's a crazy stat.
It should be easier to play goalie longer.
You're not supposed to have any knees left.
No.
But I don't know. You don't play that butterfly style.
Wait a second. He doesn't go down.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah.
The guy. Yeah. I fell on the ice more times than he went down in the butterfly.
Yeah, valid point. I think it was an up. I mean, listen, you learn as you go. You try to figure out what works for you on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a summer basis. And I think, you know, my first 5-6 years pro, it took me a lot to learn to get to where I was. And then, kind of in the middle of the career, you put in the work. And then at the end, it's a matter of finding someone that falls in love with you. I mean, there's 64 guys in the league. There's another 30 guys in the minors that could probably play in the league. And it's a matter of finding a staff that falls in love with you, that thinks that you can do the same job as somebody else, but also bring, you know, an X factor to the team, to the table for whatever that might be. And, you know, for being a veteran guy, being the calming force, whatever you want to call it, I found a niche that allowed me to continue to play. It wasn't because I could stop the puck better than 64 other guys. That was definitely not the case. But I was able to give my team a chance to win on a nightly basis and then also provide some guidance for the younger players.
So did you have more fun at the end or the beginning of your
career? Is that your question?
Yes.
It's different. I mean, you're at a different stage in your life. I think the end was more fun because I understood my role better. There was no stress of, I need a contract. I need to do this. I need to do that. It was more of just go out there and play the game you love that you played for so long. And if it didn't work out, I got to go home and hang out with my family. So either way, it was win-win. So there was a lot less stress towards the end, which probably made it a lot easier and a lot more fun. At the start of your career, you're always battling with someone. You're trying to, okay, this guy, I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. Why didn't the coach play me? And you kind of get in your own way. And, you know, and then once you're in the middle stage of your career and you're making all that money and you're supposed to be this guy, and now you get the pressure from the fans and you put a lot of pressure on yourself to live up to what your expectations are. So it's just, those are the kind of different avenues that you kind of go through as you play the game. And at the end, it's stress-free, so to speak. So you can enjoy it more.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, for me, actually my last game was a preseason game against Andy. Did you play that game too?
I don't remember if I played or not, but I remember sitting at the red line with you and you were pretty much going home.
Yeah. I was like, I'm out. I'm playing this game. And then I talked to you after the game, but I knew whether they ultimately did offer me a contract to figure out a way, but they were going to waive me. And then I knew where I was going if I got waived. So I was like, none of this makes sense. I'm just going home. I was ready. I told you I was ready. But at the same time, it's stress-free. I remember one of the young kids in Detroit asked me, he's like, well, what if you don't make the team? What are you going to do? And I said, if worst comes to worst, I got a great place in Idaho and I'll be there in 24 hours. Right. Like that's it. When you get to be stress-free, that's when you have the most fun. Like my last year in Detroit was a COVID year. And it wasn't an enjoyable year because it, you know, you didn't get the full experience in your last year, but it was such a good year with a great group of young guys. So I had a blast at the end.
Did you like the group in Buffalo, Andy? Just that young, up and coming, almost like Ottawa is right now, a bunch of young stars that just want to try and win and fight it out.
Yeah, I think that was an enjoyable. The last 2 years were really enjoyable. I mean, I wouldn't have gone back. I mean, I was on the fence last summer about going back, and I think we'd made so much, you know, so much strides, so many strides the previous season towards the end. I mean, at the end of that season, when I kind of came back from my neck injury, we were, gosh, I mean, I think we were like on pace for 98 points or something over our last 30 games. So like, we actually played really well down the stretch, and it was like, all right, I can't leave this kind of, I felt like it was unfinished business. You know, when I kind of sat back after a month or two in the summer, I was like, all right, I got to go back. And now, you know, the guys, when you have a young group of guys, like most now, most young guys all have girlfriends or wives or fiancés, and that's just kind of the way things are going. It's not the way it used to be where, you know, you're 28 single at the bar, getting drunk every night. Now it's more of a team camaraderie. You try to find things to do as a group. And, you know, it makes that whole feeling of gosh, I guess, I wasn't really, I felt like a parent, but I wasn't a parent. You were a parent per se, but you were also like, you're almost like the uncle.
the crazy uncle
hanging out, hanging around with the young guys. You know, you were able to kind of pick and choose your spot. If you didn't want to hang out with the guys, like it was like, it wasn't, you know, you wasn't frowned upon because like, oh, he's old, he's going to bed. it's past his bedtime type thing. But yeah, I mean, it could, once you get a good group of guys and you got, you know, I think we've all kind of experienced it. When you get a group of guys that you really want to be around, you know, there's no like second thought. It's just like, all right, let's go play. Let's go hang out with the guys. Let's just go do this thing.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. So I want to get to Ottawa. And one of the things, and Bobby talked about this too, when he got traded to Ottawa, I was like, where the hell is Ottawa? So when you were told you were getting traded on trade deadline day for Brian Elliott, what from Colorado, what was your reaction?
Well, it was like 2 weeks before trade deadline date, to be honest with you, since you don't know your dates. I was actually driving to the rink in Colorado for practice, and I got a phone call from the GM saying, turn around, go home, we'll bring your stuff to you. And I was like, oh, all right. And called my agent. He had me turn around and go shake everyone's hand and say thank you. It was just kind of a weird, totally weird time there in Colorado, the way things were run. But anyway, so I ended up going back, getting all my stuff. And then Ottawa played that night, and they didn't have any goalies because LeClair was on the IR. And so it was Elliott and Leonard were the only two active guys. So we actually had to get a PJ to get from Ottawa to, or from Colorado to Ottawa in time. So like that was just kind of a whole weird day, you know, 8:30 in the morning, you're getting the, which was what, 10:30 Eastern time. So it was, happened pretty early in the morning. So there's plenty of time to like pack up the house or pack up whatever I needed to. And Nicole was pregnant with Jake at the time. So like she was left there for a week, 2 weeks to pack up the house and get everything going. But, you know, getting to Ottawa, I think I landed at like, I don't know, 6:50 at the airport. You know, it was just kind of a weird day. You know, came in halfway through the first, sat on the bench, you know, just Pascal LeClair comes off the bench. It's kind of like the emergency. I mean, it was an interesting turn of events. That's for sure.
So did you know anything about Ottawa?
I knew we'd played there in the past and we beat them. I knew that. No, I didn't really know anything about Ottawa. I had a general idea of where it was, but no, didn't really know much about the town or the people or the team.
All right. So you ended up playing 10 years in Ottawa. Did you expect that? And you have nearly every goaltending record for the Ottawa Senators, except shutouts, which Patrick Lalime still has. But I think this would be a perfect time for you to blame the defense that was in front of you for this and not your play.
No, I blame, gosh, I mean, probably, I don't know, blame the top. We didn't get enough good enough players. I don't know. I mean, you can point the finger everywhere. At the end of the day, I got to stop the puck. So it really ends up falling on me. You know, I think there's some memorable shutouts, though. I think the 3-0 win and the outdoor game. I don't know how many goalies have shutouts in the outdoor game. You know, but as far as, you know, Lalime had a great team in front of him when he was there. That team was pretty dynamic. But you know, it is what it is. You can't live with regrets. You know, had a good time there, and the stats are what they are. You know, would I have loved to have played the last 3 years there also and kind of do the same role I did in Buffalo? Sure, but it didn't. It wasn't the case.
Were you disappointed in that? Tell me how it went down.
So we had COVID ended the season, and then everyone had Zoom call meetings with the staff. And, you know, DJ got on there and said, you know, I didn't know much about you. I, you know, heard certain things about you, but you know what? I actually enjoyed having you as my goalie. I'm like, all right, cool. Pierre got on and he spoke for all of about 12 seconds and said, yep, we're not going to bring you back. I'm like, okay. I knew that was coming. And then the conversation ended. There wasn't much.
Really?
There wasn't much after that. No.
Yeah. But I mean, they're not going to critique your season, right, Wally? Like,
okay. But you just spent a decade. You are the franchise's arguably best goalie ever. And you get 12 seconds.
I mean, that's probably a hyperbole, but yeah, it was very,
well, it's not the first time I've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy and I have had this conversation off the screen.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, DJ spoke first and Pierre spoke second, and there wasn't much to talk about. I mean, we're not bringing you back. Okay. Like, you want me to sit here and argue with you about why you should bring me back? I mean, that's pretty much the agent's job, right? Like, the agent can go there and sit there and take all the negativity from what the GM wants from you. And this is the reasons why we're not bringing you back. And it's like, I get it. You don't want me. I'm not going to sit here and fight with you on a Zoom call, 4,000 miles away while I'm looking at palm trees, you know?
I texted during my year-end meeting, which was over Zoom as well. They didn't tell me they were buying me out, right? I had no clue. So I had to sit there for 45 minutes talking this, and you know, Pierre's rambling on and I'm texting DJ. I texted DJ. I was like, you got to be on a putting green somewhere right now, because he was just, he wasn't even looking or paying attention. So DJ turned, you know, texted me back, ha, 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 good shit. And then I got my call. Like, I don't even know what the time frame was between then. And I was like, if you already knew, just tell me then. But I think you had to wait for a certain date or whatever it might have been to put me on waivers for that purpose. But I was like, just tell me so I can start to, you know, plan the rest of my summer or life around it. Kind of a,
you got, you had cats to look after.
Right.
The, so do you, I guess the game that you came back to Ottawa, were you, happy to be able to say goodbye to the fans, if you will?
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I mean, gosh, how did it play out? I don't think I started that game, did I?
No.
Or did I?
No, yeah, no, no, you didn't.
I didn't. So I got the tribute sitting on the bench, and then, which was awesome because you could fully enjoy it. And, you know, Brady came over the bench and he goes, make sure you stand up and enjoy this, you know, kind of thing. I didn't even know what was going on. I was just kind of like in La La Land. I've been known to kind of fall asleep on the bench from time to time. That whole, you know, enter the old joke here, the old guy joke. Yeah. Okay. So then Chucky ended up in the second period falling on Eric Comrie, and Eric tried to play through it and like played one more shift and then came out of the game. So like I ended up going into that game and we ended up losing that game. And then the next game we were up there, I played, but it was kind of nice not to start that game. Cause I was able to like go see Basil and go see my buddy Bill and kind of gallivant around Ottawa in the afternoon, as opposed to like taking a 3-hour nap and like being all like dialed in for a game. It was kind of like, I went and kind of morning skated, or maybe I didn't, I don't remember. But anyway, so like, whatever, I was able to kind of go do kind of as I pleased that day. I went and sat in Johnny's office for, gosh, I got there at like 3:30, 3:45. I think I sat in there all the way to 5:15 till the meeting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like some of the other players were coming into Johnny's office. Like, I know it's Andy, but like, can we go get some tape? Can we get that? Like, it was, cause you had Brahm in there. You had Johnny Coxey, you had Alex in there, like all five of us were sitting in that office, just kind of killing time. And like, I think the Ottawa guys were a little annoyed by it, but
you,
yeah, that's,
that
was
my miss. Will you miss that the most?
Yeah. I mean, I think you miss the group chats, you miss coming around the guys. You know, if you get into coaching and player development of some sort, it's still not the same.
Yeah.
Right. You're no longer the uncle. Now you're like the redheaded stepchild or stepfather, right? Like, it's like, all right, what's this guy doing here still?
Yeah.
Whereas like when you're still playing, even though you're old, you're like, you're still kind of like, you're still in the mix. You're still in the trenches with the guys, and that's what you're missing. And, you know, now it's going to be a little bit different if I do end up taking some sort of, you know, advisory or coaching role, whatever it might be.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to coach youth baseball and youth flag football at the moment, but, you know, you never know. When the kids tell me to go fly a kite, I guess I'll find something else to do.
Okay. There's been a couple of questions. I want, one of them is, by Chikrin Run on Twitter, which playoff round is he most proud of? He went toe to toe with Lundqvist, Price, tooth to tooth, and Rask, and beat them all once. Do you have a particular favorite?
Gosh, I mean, they're all like, when you get in the playoffs, it's, you know, everybody's good. You know, it's, you know, there's always, that's what creates those rivalries when you're playing in the playoffs against the same team over and over again. But, you know, I think there's always the comparison, well, between, you know, not between me and anybody, but like, everybody puts Price on this pedestal, like he's, you know, potential Hall of Famer, probably is going to get in. Lundqvist, potential, probably a Hall of Famer. You know, and to be able to go toe to toe with those guys and not have the same kind of following or the same, you know, that same type of
hype.
You know, hype is what, it's a good word for it.
I got you, buddy.
But I mean, like, I feel like I, you know, there's, I mean, you're one of 64 guys in the world doing the at the top of your profession. So like, you know, for me to I can hang my hat knowing that I did beat those guys in a best of seven. You know, I was able to put up numbers that were close to those guys. You know, like I said, it's one of those things where sometimes when you know, you're better than you think, and sometimes you're not as good as you don't think you are too. You know, like I said, I wouldn't put myself in those guys' categories. Some people might argue it. But I'm, you know, I know where I was, I know what I was able to do. I knew what I brought to the table. And, I was, you know, completely happy with kind of what I was able to do with my limited abilities, according to some people.
Limited ability. That's it. It wasn't limited. You just wouldn't do it. Just Tom Barrasso style, all practice long, but it worked. It worked. Yeah. We were one of the few teams in the league that were like, we can't give up 15 shots. We'll lose. We have to give up 41 if we want to win. Because if Andy's feeling the puck, you got a chance. If Andy's not and he gets bored back there and he starts staring at ads and people in the stands, we're like, there's one's going in from the corner.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where every player is different. You know, Chris Osgood couldn't play on a team that gave up more than 20 shots, you know, and they had 400 wins in the league. You know, everybody's different. Every team has a fit. Every goalie has a fit for a certain type of play or a certain team. And, you know, when you find your niche, you know, you gotta stick with it.
Yep. I agree.
Did you buy yourself a retirement car at all? No gift?
Buying the Moke.
Buying the Moke, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
those things aren't cheap. Those things are not cheap.
My favorite question might be of the day, from Tesla Canadian Dad, so you might know where this is going. Would Andy ever consider buying an electric car?
Not necessarily, no. Not at the moment.
Can't see it.
Mm-mm. No, what if the Corvette came in electric?
It's coming in electric soon. I won't do that. No chance.
If I ever see Andy, if Nicole ever makes a post or Andy ever makes a post of him charging the vehicle, I'm going to absolutely assault you.
The Moke's electric. Does that count?
No, that doesn't count. That's a neighborhood jet putz around thing. No.
I mean, I think the new Ferrari is like hybrid, right? So it's got like 780 horsepower with, like, you know, the V8 plus the electric motors. So I don't know if that counts.
I think we're going to be driving them eventually, buddy. And then I'll get into the conspiracy stuff when you drive too much and they shut it down on you.
Well, that's only in California.
So, when
definitely not in Florida.
Bobby always commented, and so did Meth, that you three basically were the early dinner crew. I want to know how often Bobby would pick up a check.
He'd do it all the time and give it to me.
Wally asked me earlier how we paid, and I was like, you know what? I don't really remember. Did we just switch on and off? Did we all just put a credit card in and pay our share? I can't remember a thing.
Don't remember. I know you guys just complain when we go to Montreal and we get hosed at that one restaurant. And we'd be like, okay, there's no prices on the menu. It's $150 a guy. Here you go. Like,
yeah.
We didn't even know what we ordered.
Yeah.
You didn't know what you ordered.
You never did order. They just brought stuff that came out and they're like, this one's on the house. And then it was on the bill at the end. Thanks.
So did you enjoy hanging out with Bobby for dinner? Like, what's he like for dinner?
I don't know. I was like going out to dinner with kind of.
Is it like three old guys?
At the time? I mean, I don't know.
Normal.
You order food, you eat food.
All right.
Talk.
Usually Meth would like to go grab some ice cream after somewhere. He'd find some convenience store. He was pretty popular with that, but. I tried not to do that, you know, watch my figure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So,
We were the early birds because even when we would ask other people, they'd be like, yeah, sure. We'll meet you in the lobby at 7:30. And the three of us were like, no.
we're getting back at 7:30.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Not a chance.
So, what was discussed at dinner then? Politics? Was there any hockey discussed? My guess is no.
I don't know. I mean, I think Meth pretty much carried the conversation, so we have to check with him. I'm pretty quiet, and Bobby doesn't say much either. Yeah, you'd have to check with Math on that one.
Yeah, he did. I have to really turn it on for the show, Wally. You don't even understand. I take a cat nap after every show.
No, I can tell sometimes.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay. So you actually own a couple of NHL records. I don't know if you know this or not. Only goaltender in NHL history to record multiple performances of 40 or more saves and one or fewer goals in a single season at age 41 or older. You're also the oldest goaltender to record 50 record. Or more saves in a single game.
These aren't the records you want, buddy.
Well, everybody wants to have a record of some sort.
That's true.
Yeah. Are those the only two?
That's all I can find at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I had another one, but Tim Thomas broke it like a month later.
Oh, what was that?
That was, I think it was 07 or 08.
Yeah.
It was, it was back to back 1-0 shutouts on the road with 40 plus saves. I think it was.
Oh yes.
I beat the Islanders 1-0. And then I played like two nights later in Boston. We won 1-0. And then like literally like 30 days later, Tim Thomas did the same damn thing.
I got you. Yep.
Come on, Timmy, get back in a tree stand.
I don't even know where to go with that one. Is okay? So there's obviously the moment in Edmonton that would probably stand out as arguably the most memorable game. Outside of that, is there a favorite game that you have as an Ottawa Senator?
Gosh, I mean, probably Pajot's 4 goals. I'm being unselfish here.
I want you, your game.
No, you're asking me to be somebody I'm not. Be selfish. I don't know. I mean, gosh. The first game in Toronto, you know, I got Colorado gear on. We get in. Like I said, I flew in, landed at 7 o'clock at night, backed up halfway through the first. Then we fly to Toronto. No morning skate. I haven't skated with the guys. Nothing. Don't even know anybody. And we win 1-0 in Toronto in a shootout, I think it was. That one was pretty wicked.
Shout out the first night, eh?
Yeah. That was coming off of like, I had, gosh, I mean, I had like an 850 save percentage in Colorado coming to Ottawa. You know what I mean? So like, dude, I was like in the dumpster. I was in the dumpster. I was like on the verge of being not in the league anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, strung together, you know, whatever, 15, 17 games there at the end, which kind of catalysted the whole 10 years, you know.
Exactly.
That was the start of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a fresh start, fresh look.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get your mind right. I think that's the difference between good seasons and bad seasons is just having the right mindset. And then once you get in playoffs, again, it's a mindset. Everything kind of gets elevated and, you know, that's where you go.
Did you think you were going to last in Ottawa? Because when they traded for you, I remember talking to Rick Walmsley, I believe is the goalie coach. And I was like, Walmer, like, what's the deal here? He's like, we don't know what we've got. We know that Colorado wanted to make a change. We don't know exactly who he is or what he is. Did you feel that?
No, I know. I know my agent was good, knew Brian Murray really well. You know, when I spoke to him, he's like, this is your opportunity. Just kind of go out there and play and do your thing. And let me take care of everything else. And that was, you know, pretty much it. But like a change of scenery was a fresh start, right? A new first impression. You know, I think sometimes over the course of my career, I'm sure, Bobby, you've probably gone through it as well, as you get in a rut and you rub everybody the wrong way, some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not you. It's not who you are. It's just, it's that mood that you get into. And it's a lot of guys, some guys can hide it really well. Some guys can't. I mean, I wore my emotions on my sleeve, and when I was pissed off, everybody knew about it. They rubbed everybody the wrong way. And then, you know, before you know it, you're in a vicious snowball effect of negativity. Getting out of Colorado was, you know, the breakup of the snowball that had happened over the course of that year. So, and then, you know, it happened from time to time in Ottawa, you know, but having a long-term deal or having a fresh season, you can kind of, you know, start fresh. You know, when you get a new coach, it's a time for a new, fresh, you know, first impression. That's kind of how you have to, that's how I kind of perceived all the coaching changes, or the change of, you know, change of scenery when you change team to team.
There were a few coaching changes, by the way. When you came into Ottawa, you 11-5-1, 939 and a 205 goals against in your final 18 games.
That'll work
that season. Did you find that, like, was there a few coaches that you just didn't see eye to eye with? And the other, I'll follow that up with, coaches say they don't tend to talk to the goalies. Was there coaches that just didn't talk to you?
No, I got along with most of my coaches. I would say, I mean, you deal a lot with the goalie coaches on a day-to-day basis. I would say my last year in Colorado was a tough one. Where our goalie coach the year before was Jocelyn Thibault. Joss was a roommate of mine on the road when I broke into the league with Chicago. So, like, you know, he was like the uncle, right? Like, when we talked goaltending, when he came in, he'd come in for like a week or two out of the month, right? So when he'd come in, you'd do video, you'd chat, like, everything was positive. Oh, it's great. You know, you're doing awesome. The season was going the way, you know, everyone was kind of planning. The next year they hired Kirk McLean, and, you know, he came in, you know, the same thing, like, he come in once a month, you know, for a week, and all the video was negative. Oh, if this guy scores, oh, hit the crossbar. If that guy scores, it's a bad goal. If this happens, it's a bad goal. Everything was negative. And then he and I got into it one time on the phone, and he was like, well, you got to find a way to win. Like, even if it's 8-7, like, it's not 1985 anymore. Like, yeah, you got to figure out how to not give up 8 goals, you know, like, cause we were in a bad place. And then, you know, Joe Sacco was the head coach, and he was trying to talk to me and try to figure things out. And, like, he rubbed me the wrong way. And then, you know, a week later, I was in Ottawa. That's kind of how that all played out. But it was just a matter of, you know, you're not seeing eye to eye with a coach. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Joe. We were on the road. I don't remember where we were. And he's like, I need you to steal us a win. We got to get in the win column. You got to steal us a win. I mean, you talk to any goalie coach. I mean, if you got a goalie coach there a full-time basis, he would never have let that conversation happen, right? Like, you just don't put that kind of pressure on a goalie. You just let it happen. Like, those games just happen, and they happen not because you're trying too hard. It just happens, like, you just black out and it happens. But to try to put that stress on a guy,
that's a lot.
It's like, yeah, that's like, hey, Bobby, we need a hat trick. You got to go score 3 tonight and,
yeah,
and make
go
sure
get
we win 3-2. Yeah, like, you just don't say those things, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I think he learned his lesson too. I mean, he's still in the league as an assistant coach. And I know Johnny Lyles, who was in Colorado with me, and, you know, he had Joe as a head coach and an assistant. And he goes, I loved him as an assistant. I didn't like him as a head. So, you know, everybody kind of, you know, finds their niche. And, you know, Joe's obviously a good coach. He's still in the league. Just it wasn't his fit to be the head guy in Colorado.
You lost your last 6 game decisions before being traded to Toronto, or at least the team did. That's a tough haul, right? The last game was Calgary. The guys lost 9-1. You didn't start that game.
I don't remember.
what have you done with all your masks? And you must.
They're at my warehouse. I got most of them. I probably have, I don't know, 90% of them. Maybe missing one or two. I know I'm missing at least one, but.
You gave one to Brian Murray's wife, right? Did you give her that mask? Yes.
Yes, I gave her one, but that one was an extra one because it didn't fit right. So I wore it a little bit, and then we had another one remade.
Oh, okay.
So I gave her that one. I know Scotty Allegrino took one, or I gave him one.
Wait.
I think I gave him one.
You say took one. Did you give him one?
I gave him one.
He's got a mask too, eh?
I think it ended up on eBay somewhere. Maybe the Apple guy got it. He ended up with a new Apple, you know, laptop out of it. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I think there was only one that went missing. Like I said, I think he asked, but it wasn't really an ask. It was like, hey, man, can I have this mask? Okay, yeah, all right. But whatever, you know. Yeah.
I took this mask home. I hope it's okay.
Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know. I don't like talking bad about anybody. But I think, you know, I think obviously you guys know some history that I may or may not know as well. but I think I have most of them for the most part.
And so will you do something with them?
I mean, they're on a shelf. Does that count as doing something with them?
Yeah, yeah.
Display them. Oh, you can. What do you do with a mask?
Wear it.
Well, it says when you at a warehouse, it just doesn't sound very. But so, that's where you have your. But you have your racing setup there, correct?
So when I say warehouse, yeah. So my buddy and I, we've got a company that runs out of my warehouse. I've got two warehouses now. One's a smaller one with a baseball cage. The other one, the company takes care of. They rent it all. We put our cars there. We've got pinball. We've got racing simulators. We've got pool table. We've got big screen TV shelves.
It's a man cave on steroids.
It's cool. A man cave on steroids.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've been dying for a golf simulator, but it's tough to sell that in Florida.
Yeah.
But if it was up in north, maybe you could. But anyway, so yeah, so I've got pretty much everything over there. And I took all the helmets out of a bag and put them on the shelf, and I got some pads hanging and whatnot. But yeah, it's I don't know what you're supposed to do with that stuff.
I don't either, but I always thought just goalie masks were, that's the one piece of equipment in the National Hockey League that's really, it's cool, right? It's so personal. It's neat what people come up with. So I always like seeing them displayed.
Yeah. I think the outdoor mask is at the Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Did you have a favorite? I really liked your Buffalo stuff.
Do I have a favorite? No, not really.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I won't ask any more difficult questions. Who is your least favorite goalie partner?
This is a hard one.
Yeah, I mean, you just asked me to throw guys under the bus right now. Come on.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
Robin Leonard was known to be difficult per se. I'm wondering if the two of you got along fairly well.
I don't think you couldn't put a better person with a Robin than Andy though.
That was the complete opposite. I mean, after he was done hunting me, I think we were good.
Yeah.
You don't remember that? You remember that interview or no?
No.
Yeah, Robin, as soon as I got traded there, Robin had an interview where he said he hunts goalies. And that was kind of like the running joke between me and Jerry. It was like, oh, how's the hunter doing?
That's awesome.
But anyways, yeah, Robin was fine. Like, he and I got along. I think the only guy that, when you're early in your career and you're battling for playing time, you're battling for call-ups, I think that would probably be the only time that I really had some friction with a guy. After that, it's
fair enough.
Once you get established, you're fine. But yeah, I think it's that young guy. Like if you're the that first call up as a player, and the other guy that's getting called up, like you're not going to become best friends with a guy that's another centerman that's trying to get called up over you. Like you're friends, but you're not really friends, like because you don't you want to be the one that gets called up. Like, I think that's. And that's where, when you put two young goalies together, I think that's when you have an issue. You stagger them a little bit. I think you have less of an issue.
Do you have a favorite then?
I think dealing with Eric Comrie this last season was good. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Peter Budaj. Super positive, works really hard. Everybody loves him. Always has something positive to say. Those are the type of guys that, when guy knows their role, and they're obviously Eric and Peter, when I had them, they want to be starters, but they also understand that they've been in the league for as long as they have as backups. They're there because they're such good guys. And when their opportunity arises and the opportunity is there, it's their job now to take it, but they've given themselves every opportunity to get that opportunity because of the way they handle themselves and the way they're around the guys.
Just a couple other questions before I let you go. And that is there one player who, if you could, you would have fought? Drove you so nuts that you wanted to take one swing?
No. Not that I know of, no.
I was going to say. You're asking, you know who you're asking, right?
I couldn't punch myself out of a wet paper bag. So, So you get heat in them. I mean, I think there's more times I wanted to punch the referees for lack of goalie interference calls or whatever it might've been, but I don't know. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think everyone is, when you're in the heat of the moment, you're playing a game. I mean, that's when the competitive nature comes out. But at the end of the day, I mean, if we all decide, I mean, there's probably not one guy that I wouldn't play golf with or go have a beer with in the league. I mean, it's just the way the game is.
Okay. I want to know who you pick to win the Stanley Cup.
Gosh.
You're a Florida guy, you play for the Panthers.
I'm jumping on the Floridian back on the okay. Floridian bandwagon here.
Are you going to any of the games?
I've been to game three of every round.
Okay. So you're gonna go back for three for sure?
We'll go back for three for sure, maybe four. I don't know. Nice. I'll be in Georgia with Jake for his baseball tournament for game six. So
okay.
That ain't happening.
Do you call up Luongo and say, hey, can I sit in the alumni box?
No, the guys at the office, we've got a box that we have got tickets to. Okay. So we just jump in there.
Nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I appreciate your time, Andy.
That's it.
I could talk to you more, but you don't want to give me any answers.
That's it for me. See you, Andy.
All right.
I'll see you guys next week.
Hey. You've done your hour. All right.
Thank you, by the way, from the fans here in Ottawa.
Yeah,
we did. Like, you were phenomenal for a decade, and I don't know. I think you were finally appreciated more once you had left, but you were definitely the backbone of that team for 10 years.
Sometimes you don't know what you got till you lose it.
It's very true.
What a party! So,
enjoy the golf carts, and we appreciate your time, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
I'll see you in a couple months, buddy. All right, he's out.
Yeah, he had no time left for you.
No, you know what? I just put in a RSVP to his retirement party, so I knew where he was going with that. But I'll be down there. I'll be the sober guy at all the events for the weekend with Andy.
Do you end up back at the man cave? Because I would just hang it there.
It's at a hotel. Okay. I don't know what the plans are. And they're doing a good job because they hid the guest list. So you're not, you know, you have no idea who's going. So I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm going to book flights this weekend, and I'm looking forward to getting down and supporting my buddy.
I'm going to check my email. I must be in my junk folder, the invite. So,
make sure. He put you in spam.
Okay. Before we go back to Botano for a sec, we are going to make our Stanley Cup predictions. Yorkie's already given us his. He is going with the Vegas Golden Knights to win this Stanley Cup final. Bob, you went a perfect 2-0 in round three.
I did. Yeah.
So you and Yorkie are tied in wins.
Okay.
Yep. So throughout the playoffs. So do you have, now you'd have to go with Florida in order to perhaps beat him, but who do you think? Are you going to go with Mark Stone or Anthony Duclair and Colin White in Florida? Boy, which teammate do you not like the most?
I actually like all the guys that it's Stoner, Duclair, and Whitey, right?
And there's Michael Amadio that people don't remember played for the Ottawa Senators, but he's in Vegas.
And then I got Stalzy down in. But honestly, I was looking at guys and I'm like, God, I played with somebody everywhere, right? Somewhere else along the way, but Stalzy, I'd really like to see Stalzy win just because he's been in the league so long and it might
which
be
which one?
Mark. Well, Eric too, but he's already won. So I really like the depth that I saw out of Vegas last round. And it just depends to me on which Bob shows up.
Yes.
That is the big question. And I'm gonna take the hot hand. I love Matthew Tkachuk. I think the Florida Panthers are big, they're heavy. Their fourth line's been okay. The D's been. I'm going with Vegas. Sorry, I'm going with Florida. Just I'm going to ride it with Andy.
I think it's a. I don't know why you would go against Florida at the moment. The only reason I say that is the way that Bobrovsky's playing. Right.
Yeah.
As they always say, goaltending wins you championships. I will pick Florida as well.
I love it.
I hate to go against Mark Stone.
I do too, but I just think South Florida is going to get their first cup this year. Problem with Cinderella stories, Wally, is that they always eventually lose, but I don't think this is the case this year. I think they're going to get it done. Matthew Tkachuk's played another level. Barkov's got another gear he can go to. I love Verhaeghe.
So then you've got Jack Eichel, Mark Stone.
Yeah, no.
Alex Pietrangelo.
No doubt Vegas is deeper. I'm just going with them. I'm just going with them.
Okay. Fair enough. We are back Monday, Bob. I'm going to assume Yorkie's back too. I don't know. You guys just tell me when you want to work. I guess that's how it works. And then eventually I'll figure out which show you guys will host without me.
Deal.
All right. Enjoy your weekend. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
We'll see you on Monday. It's Coming in Hot, brought to you by Betano. Go to betano.ca.
Coming in Hot is brought to you by Betano.ca. Please hit that like button and subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.